AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Californians have been rocked by the second mass shooting in days. This time, police say a gunman opened fire at two separate farms in northern Half Moon Bay, killing seven people. Vice Mayor Joaquin Jimenez.
This is something we get to watch on the news. Never think that it's going to come and hit home.
Police say a 67-year-old suspect, Shunli Zhao, was arrested in his car in a parking lot at the county sheriff's office substation. Sheriff Christina Corpus.
Zhao was taken into custody without incident, and a semi-automatic handgun was located in his vehicle.
Investigators are working on a motive. And in Southern California, they're investigating a mass shooting at a dance club Saturday that left 11 people dead. Correspondent Steve Futterman is in Monterey Park.
Law enforcement officials here are trying to solve a troubling puzzle. They still don't know what drove 72-year-old Hu Cam Tran to open fire. L.A. County Sheriff Robert Luna.
Did he plan this? Was it the day of? Was it a week before? What drove a madman to do this? We don't know, but we intend to find out.
The sheriff disclosed that 42 shots were fired during the massacre, and a search at the suspected gunman's home showed evidence that he was manufacturing gun silencers.
Police in Iowa say an 18-year-old has been charged with murder after two teenagers were killed at an alternative school for at-risk students in Des Moines. Officials say all three were affiliated with gangs. The family of a 29-year-old black man who died in police custody in Memphis says body cam video shows officers staged a savage attack. Their attorney, Antonio Romanucci.
It was an unadulterated, unabashed, nonstop beating of this young boy for 3 minutes.
Tyree Nichols was arrested after a traffic stop this month. The police department says five officers have been fired for using excessive force and failing to render aid. Four members of the Oath Keepers have been convicted of seditious conspiracy in the January 6th attack. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
All four defendants were found guilty of seditious conspiracy, as well as conspiracy to obstruct the certification of the Electoral College vote and to prevent members of Congress from discharging their duties.
The man photographed with his feet on then-Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office desk has also been convicted. Disney World fans who took one last ride are trying to make a profit off a favorite attraction. Postings on eBay offer what claims to be water from Splash Mountain. One person selling 4 ounces for $150. The attraction closed yesterday to make room for a new one. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You've kept up with the times. For example, you're fluent in texting.
Honey, what does IGTTSWA mean?
It means I'm going to the store, want anything.
If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org for a quick 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. And it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Check out aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow is a product of Courier Newsroom and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Tuesday, January 24th. It's another beautiful day on Lake Wissota. It's going to be downright tropical by comparison to what we're going to go through later this weekend. We have not taken a deep dive, you know, below zero or anything like that for some time, and that's been wonderful. But all good things must come to an end, and we have a very cold weekend in store. If you weren't paying attention a few minutes ago to the forecast, be sure you are a little bit later on so that you are taking all good preparation, so that you're not getting cold outside or letting the cold air in. I had the joy of home ownership yesterday in replacing a doorknob that the old one had failed with the lock and everything. And so for the time between the old one coming out and the new one coming in, we had a lovely little wind tunnel of, you know, cold air blowing into the house. And I've just learned, Aaron Zommers, you know, you don't cheap out on things like your doorknob, your door lock, because we discovered the one that we'd bought previously had a little plastic sleeve in it that just fell apart at some point, which in a cold Wisconsin winter, I can understand.
Sounds about right. And unfortunately, it's really hard to know when you're cheaping out because the price doesn't always tell you. You have to learn stuff about every single thing you buy when you're a homeowner, or else it's just mm-hmm. going to break.
Which it is. It's
impossible.
It's so true. It's so, there's so much trial and error involved that, yeah, when the last one came, I was like, oh, this looks good. You know, put this in. And you know, you come to find out, like you said, the hard way, what the things that work and the things that don't. One of the things that don't is masking tape, because that was my solution to keeping the cold air from coming in through the door, which had to be, you know, had that hole in the middle of it. So I just put a bunch of masking tape over the hole of it. And, you know, there's a reason people don't insulate their homes with masking tape. Let's just put it that way. But you do what you can for that brief time while you make repairs to the home. And it had to be done before it got really cold, because like I said, it's going to happen. Coming up this morning, we are going to talk to a couple of folks from Wisconsin Farmers Union, Michelle Ramirez-White and our friend Hans Brighton Moser, about the top priorities that Farmers Union families brought to their state legislators recently during a day down at the state capitol. There are so many politicians that like to say that they, you know, represent, you know, the best parts of Wisconsin, and they're all about, you know, rural Wisconsin, et cetera. Well, if you're going to say that, you should really listen to what the Farmers Union is proposing, because the values that they're bringing, the priorities that they're bringing, if you want to represent that area, those are the folks to listen to, as opposed to people who have represented rural Wisconsin for years and did things like vote to move money out of the district and send it all down to Foxconn so that they could build a lot of wide roads down in Racine County that don't go anyplace, or they voted to all but gut corporate income taxes so that, you know, local rural schools and rural infrastructure, they're all hurting for funding. So I think it would be wise for some of these folks who have jobs in a big marble building in Madison to listen to Hans and Michelle a little bit later on as they talk about what the real agenda should be for rural Wisconsin, for farm families, and for the state economy at large. Later in the morning, we will visit with Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio, find out what's happening up in his world in the greater Wausau area. If you'd like to reach us, the phone number is 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. Our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Today would be a really good day if you wanted to get something off your chest to talk about something in the news. Basically, because as I was mentioning to the Secret Show audience just before we started, the ones that watch the live stream on Facebook, and so they get to hear Aaron and me prattle on during the commercial breaks, there isn't, you know, an overriding trend in the news right now. We're not in that kind of media bubble where everybody is talking about X. There's a whole lot of, you know, stories that are going on that, frankly, we won't be talking about a couple of days from now. So we'll review what's going on in the world, but it's basically an open line for whatever else is on your mind to talk about, what you think should be in the news, what people in Congress or the legislature should be working on. We will, after the break, we will hear, again, it's one of those smaller stories, but this is Salt Awareness Week. And I was going to tell you about Salt Awareness Week, but Charlie Behrens does a very good job of it with a quick video that he made. So we'll talk about that on the other side of the commercial break. Before we get into some of the, well, frankly, some of the more depressing stories that are out there. There was a second mass shooting in California yesterday, and there was a school shooting in Iowa. We will have to discuss those things. We will discuss the internal battle among Republicans over what to do about immigration. Do you really want to solve the problem and help advance this important economic issue? Or do you just want to, you know, pose for holy pictures, as the cliche goes? And so there's some true division now that the new Congress is starting to figure out, well, what bills do we want to introduce? And frankly, on the good news side of it, a Central Wisconsin resettlement agency notes that it has placed 160 refugees in its first year in existence. Immigration works. Immigration is necessary, legal and organized immigration. And we can get that better if we can get some politicians off their butt to talk about it. And we'll also mention how Giannis came back for the Bucks in a big way. Bucks and Badgers played yesterday. Updates on those games coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands, seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multi-grain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High temperatures reach up to 32 today under overcast skies. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 25. Snow likely tomorrow. Highs level off around 32. Cloudy skies expected. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
We have so many artists mentioned in this day in music history. So we can't possibly get to them all. They include Warren Zevon, who's fallen off my list here. Why do we have Warren Zevon listed here? I'll come up with it if you don't have in front of you there, Aaron.
It's in the anyway. Main spot of your notes for you.
I will. You know, sometimes I take these really detailed notes, and sometimes I actually refer back to them during the show. Other times I don't. So for now, we'll just enjoy the music of Warren Zevon while I tell you that in sports, the Milwaukee Bucks played yesterday. Giannis Antetokounmpo returned to the lineup, scored 20 points in the first quarter, 29 points total after a 5-game absence, and he helped lead the Milwaukee Bucks to a 150 to 130 win over the Detroit Pistons last night. I was sitting in a sports bar for a chunk of that game. I never really felt the need to watch the game because the first time I looked up, the Bucks were up something like 37-17. And then I think the halftime score was like 85 to 50 or something ridiculous like that. So the Bucks clearly felt they needed to make a statement. They did, because the two-time MVP had been out with a sore left knee for 5 games. And look who else was back in the lineup, 3-time All-Star Chris Middleton. So they were back on the court together for the first time in more than a month. Middleton hasn't played since December 15th due to a sore right knee. He had 8 points and 4 assists, and the Bucks are back on top of the Central Division in the Eastern Conference. The Badger men's basketball team did not play over the weekend because Northwestern had to take a pause because of COVID. The Northwestern team was out of action for 8 days. Looks like they were ready to play again because they topped the Badgers last night 66-63, but a very close game. Neither team led by more than 4 points in the second half. There were 16 lead changes. So why did the Badgers lose? Well, they struggled down the stretch, making just one of their final 10 shots from the field. The Badgers are now 4-4 in the Big Ten, and they will play at Maryland, and that will be tomorrow. So I mentioned something called Salt Awareness Week. This is not a dietary thing. This is a road thing. And we live in an area, and this is especially noteworthy as we head into a very, very cold weekend ahead. It helps to remind folks once in a while that you do not need to empty the entire 50-pound bag of salt on your driveway or wherever, that a little salt goes a long ways, and that too much salt, while it does, of course, you know, dissolve over time, it can do some damage in the meantime to our lakes or streams or drinking water, you know, fish and wildlife. And so a whole host of agencies around the state have gotten together for something they call the Saltwise Partnership. It's everything from the North Central Wisconsin Stormwater Coalition to the Madison Metropolitan Sewage District and more, all to remind you of something that I could tell you not to overdo it on the salt, but Charlie Behrens, who makes all sorts of viral videos about Wisconsin life, they asked him to say a few words about Salt Awareness Week, and here's what he's telling folks.
Folks, this week is Wisconsin Salt Awareness Week, okay? You know, if you salt too much on the roads and in the driveways and whatnot, it messes with the infrastructure, okay? And it hurts the walleyes, all right? So, and also, we don't need to salt the deer before we eat the deer, okay? Anyway, keep removing, watch for deer, and salt them after you get them. All right, real good. Bye-bye.
Salt them after you get them. It's the chloride from the salt that gets into the lakes, the streams, and the groundwater. And so if you go to a website that they set up, and it stands for Wisconsin Saltwise, but it's WIWISaltwise.com. You'll get what they call the skinny on salt, just to remind you of, you know, what it really takes to, you know, whether it's a cup or a half a cup, to really take care of this much of your driveway, and be aware that, you know, salt works differently in different conditions depending on, you know, just how cold the weather gets. You know, there's times when maybe sand is the way to go instead of salt, but we just don't want. We've got enough threats to our water in Wisconsin already these days, between, you know, industrial chemicals and, you know, high capacity wells and, well, just the legislature itself, all kinds of threats to Wisconsin's clean water. So let's not add to the problem, shall we? This spate of mass shootings, and I guess I don't know if spate is the right word, because it's not like they ever stop happening. It's just that sometimes they reach a point that they get covered in the news because of the number of victims. A mass shooting itself is defined as, I think, four or more people being shot, which, look, I can already hear people saying, well, that's kind of, you know, small potatoes. You know, a mass shooting is like 20 to 50 people being shot. We should not be shocked anytime that four people are shot by a firearm. This is not normal. And what's happening in this country is not normal. And I'm not going to spend much time on the California shootings in Monterey, or the one that happened in, it's called Moon Bay, California, between San Francisco and Santa Cruz. You know, the details are readily available out there. But there was also a school shooting in Des Moines that took the lives of two teenagers and seriously wounded the founder of this charter school for at-risk youth. And we are going to hear a lot of the regular, I was going to say talking points, they're actually excuses. We're going to hear the regular excuses about how, well, you know, we can't really do anything about that, which is as far from true as it gets. It will take work to do it. It will take testicular fortitude to get something done, but something can be done. Unfortunately, the excuses we're going to hear is that, well, there it is. There's that big city crime in California, and there's all this talk about Chicago and Milwaukee. But places like Chicago and California have strict gun laws. And what you then hear from the right wing is, well, you see, these strict gun laws, they don't work. But here's the problem. They actually do work. The guns aren't coming from Chicago when they go into Iowa or Wisconsin or California. They're coming from places where gun laws are lax, because politicians, for lack of a more tactful way to put this, they're okay with people dying. They're letting it happen. I can't put it any more clearly than that. These politicians are okay with letting mass shootings happen, because either they believe in their heart of hearts that nothing will work, or they just have a point of cynicism that leads them to believe that the only answer for the United States of America is to become the Wild West. And I, you know, don't mean that. There's nothing metaphorical about that, that they literally want everybody armed and that they're okay with almost any dispute being solved with firearms. And there, by the way, there's nothing pro-law enforcement about that stance. If you want to be in favor of law enforcement, I don't mean police officers, I mean actually enforcing the law. If you want peace, if you want law and order, you got to get the weapons of war off the streets and out of the hands of people who can become disgruntled and do things that maybe they never thought they were capable of until a moment of rage. Or the suicides that happen because, again, you have easy access to guns, and people who otherwise say, well, I just need a gun for protection, I would never use it against myself, until they do. All of these things can be done, but what are legislators focused on instead? Well, I guess the most egregious example I can offer is one of the top Republicans in the Indiana legislature said in a radio interview recently, I guess just yesterday, that he would like more to be done in Indiana to stop women at the state line and prevent them from crossing into Illinois to get an abortion. That's where their focus is on right now. Not saving the children in our schools, not saving the adults in the workplace or at social gatherings. Their focus is on stopping women at the state line and forcing them to, for example, give birth to their rapist baby and to not access the health care they need that could keep them from bleeding to death. That's what they think of women in Indiana, and that's what they think of children and all the rest of us who could be victims of crime. They could be working on these things, but they choose not to. One area where people could be working a little bit more, doing more, is in the area of human trafficking. There is a new bill in the legislature I want to tell you about in a sec here, but first, over at upnorthnewswi.com is a reminder that there is a new article there as well that is all about human trafficking, that it's more prevalent in Wisconsin than you might think, and that there is a new program that is designed to help folks who have been victimized by those who would, you know, engage in human trafficking. And you'll get the statistics there as to how big of a problem it is. But meanwhile, in the legislature, there's a bill that sounds, I think, to most people like it should be a slam dunk, but it hasn't been. The bill from a bipartisan group of legislators, and I'm sharing the notes from Corinne Hess at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, this bill would eliminate charging minors for prostitution by clarifying that children cannot legally consent to sex with an adult. Now, I saw that at first, and I thought, well, that's apparent. You learned that long ago, that minors cannot legally consent to sex, and yet it is still somehow on the books that minors can be charged with prostitution, and that as a result, there are young people who do not come forward to report themselves as victims or report their abusers for fear that they would get caught up in being charged for things that they were forced to do at some point. It's called a safe harbor bill. It's been introduced in Wisconsin in 2017, 2019, 2021, and it's never received full approval by the legislature, even though 30 other states have similar legislation. It's now being worked on by Assembly Rep Jill Billings, Democrat out of La Crosse, and Republican Joel Kitchens from Sturgeon Bay. And Billings says she's cautiously optimistic, but she says there still needs to be education on the issue because many people, she says, simply don't understand human trafficking goes on here. Some politicians have raised concerns that such safe harbor legislation would have the net effect of legalizing prostitution. But PolitiFact has investigated the language in the bills, and any such claims are getting a pants-on-fire rating. And so again, I would hope that this is one of those bipartisan moments that even the Wisconsin legislature could take care of and try to, you know, prevent that scourge. Let's at least do the doable human trafficking if you won't take care of, you know, school shootings.
I was going to say, I really hope that the line is child trafficking, that they don't go even farther.
it does make you wonder. In fact, I want to say one quick thing. I heard somebody on a station giving this rather dry statistic that, you know, firearms are the number one cause of death in children. And they left out the context for like 60, 70 years. Automobile crashes were the number one killer of children in the United States. It's only been within the past year or two. The number one killer of our children is gunfire. And we are capable of being better than that. More in a bit. This is Up North News Radio.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Another mass shooting, this time in Northern California.
It's a tragedy that we hear about far too often. But today, it's hit home here in San Mateo County.
Sheriff Christina Corpus says seven people were shot to death at farms in Half Moon Bay. CBS's Max Darrow on the suspect.
67-year-old Chun-Li Zhao was seen being taken away in handcuffs Monday afternoon, shortly after authorities say he shot and killed more than half a dozen people in two different locations. Officials say the suspect was located in the parking lot of a San Mateo County Sheriff's substation.
It comes just days after 11 people died in a mass shooting at a dance club in southern Monterey Park. Investigations are underway into motives in both incidents. Democratic State Assemblyman Evan Lowe.
In California, we pride ourselves on the most strict gun laws in the nation, and yet this can still happen within our borders.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
What are the governor's priorities for Wisconsin? Tony Evers will lay out his second-term plans during his State of the State address January 24th. You can hear it live on your local civic media radio station. Will abortion rights, Medicaid expansion, and legalizing marijuana be the top issues? Your favorite hosts also provide insight by breaking down the governor's address. The State of the State address live Tuesday, January 24th at 7 p.m. here on your local civic media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Douglas LaFollette, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Good to be here, Mike. Across the country, in most every state, the Secretary of State is the person who is in charge of the election. And we've seen lots of hanky-panky in Florida back during the Al Gore elections, in Ohio and Georgia and Arizona and Michigan.
We appreciate you coming around, sir.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
Doc John 99.
Say my name, say my name. No one is around you. Say, baby, I love you.
It sometimes mystifies me why people can't get a name right. In this case, the name is the Democratic Party rather than, you know, Democrat Party. And we'll talk about that in just a sec. But first off, I want to remind you that we are so much closer to the Civic Media $1 million giveaway. And that's something that's happening day after tomorrow. $1 million in advertising for Wisconsin small businesses. And you can learn more about that at civicmedia.us. And I have that in front of me right now, but I forgot the tag, /million. There we go. You hit /million and you get all of the details about how at 9 a.m. on Thursday, you can start to fill out an application for your small business for not just free advertising, but free help with designing an advertising campaign that would work on one or more of our civic media radio stations all around Wisconsin. So go there.
$1 million.
And read up on the full rules or look for the posts on social media and be part of this, because they're giving away $1 million in ad space until it's gone. So what have you got to lose? As they say, civicmedia.us/million. I saw an article over the weekend by Lawrence Glickman in Slate, the online magazine, headlined "The Real Origins of the Democrat Party Troll." And there's not a lot to read from the article to you. It's a rather deep dive into not just the historical roots of what some people snicker as some kind of an insult, but it also gets into the word liberal and liberalism. And here's the thing about politics in America. We have allowed, you know, the red team and the blue team to divide us so deeply that if I were to accuse Republicans of being a liberal party, they would be aghast. They would be defensive. They would clutch their pearls. But the fact of the matter is the overarching definition of liberalism, the Western liberalism that we all live under here in the world, you know, in much of the world right now, is simply more about self-determination, that we get to elect our leaders. But at different points, the Democratic and Republican parties, you know, have tried to use that definition of liberalism to accuse the other of being the party of big government, or, you know, a party that is out of touch with people, so forth and so on. Again, I'm not going to give you all the details, but somewhere in the midst of all of that came this attempt at an insult to call it the Democrat Party, in claiming that, well, Democrats are not really democratic. Well, if you want to make the case that, you know, Democrats aren't democratic, still calling them a Democrat probably isn't as effective as you think it is. It's interesting to read in Slate, but whenever I hear it from people, and you hear it all the time from certain politicians and certain people, but as I posted on social media over the weekend after I read it, I have always been rather grateful for this childish attempt to be clever. Because when I hear that, it is an immediate signal that I don't have to take this person seriously. The grown-ups are trying to get some work done. And so leave the adults alone. What's that?
It just makes them sound illiterate.
It does. Yeah, it absolutely does. And, you know, the first couple of times you heard it, you thought, oh, I should correct them, tell them they got that wrong. And then you're just like, oh, no, this is their effort to, and here's another one of those great phrases, own the libs. We've triggered them. We've made them mad by, you know, it's like calling, if somebody's name was Patty, it's like calling them Fatty instead and thinking that you're being clever. You're not. You're being a jerk. Stop it. But speaking of politicians who are prone to using name calling and don't deserve to be taken seriously, the congressman from Northern Wisconsin, Tom Tiffany, has reportedly started his listening sessions around the district and talking, to nobody's surprise, about the border with Mexico. According to WisPolitics, which is quoting an article in the Lakeland Times, which I don't have a subscription to, so I can't read you exactly from the article, but the WisPolitics summary of it talks about Tiffany addressing, you know, migrants being bused to places. Tiffany apparently says, set aside the human trafficking, set aside the terrorists that are coming to our country. Just the fentanyl alone is the number one killer of people ages 18 to 45. I mean, there's no other reason you would stop it because of that if you cared about America. And it's obvious the Biden administration does not. The first thing we need to do is secure the border, then reform immigration. The progressive movement that moves the Democratic Party, they don't believe there should be borders. This is the stuff that spews out of the congressman from Northern Wisconsin. to say that the Biden administration does not care about America, that Democrats don't believe in borders, to say that we need to reform immigration, and yet you have fought every effort to reform immigration. Again, I throw the word disingenuous around simply because it's the most family appropriate term I can use on the radio. But again, between Tiffany so focused on people coming up from Central America and Mike Gallagher from Northeast Wisconsin so focused on China, the question can legitimately be asked, who is looking out for people in Wisconsin? Who is working for people in northern and northeastern Wisconsin? With just those two members of Congress alone being so caught up in those other people from outside the country. Again, you have to have a villain. And that's the threat, you know, the as Tiffany says, the terrorists coming over our border. Not that I can think of any terrorist attacks recently from people coming across the border. The terrorist attacks that have happened have been the mass shooters that Tom Tiffany refuses to do anything about. That's the terrorism that's in our country right now. But we have a party that cannot even agree amongst themselves what to do about immigration. A new story in the Washington Post says an early rift over immigration exposes the House GOP's tough path to consensus. Republicans won't bring an immigration bill to the floor this week after some members raised concerns about its scope and about the process. In other words, there was a backlash from moderate Republicans. I'm always hesitant to use the phrase, but by comparison purposes, I will say moderate Republicans, which is delaying a pledge by Speaker Kevin McCarthy, a pledge that he made to a handful of extreme right-wing lawmakers in order to win the election for Speaker. And so the bill was introduced by extremist Chip Roy of Texas, co-sponsored by 58 Republicans. I believe Tiffany is among them, that would allow the Homeland Security Secretary to unilaterally bar all undocumented migrants from entering through any point of entry if the secretary deems it necessary to reestablish operational control of the border. If immigration agencies cannot process undocumented migrants, a similar response by the secretary is required. If the secretary does not follow through, the bill would provide state attorneys general the authority to sue the federal government. Well, that got the attention of the moderates in the Republican Party, because they understand what you're doing there is you're preventing any migrants and unaccompanied children who are fleeing violence from seeking asylum in the United States, which is a traditionally protected tenet of our country's immigration laws. What we stand for, welcoming people who are fleeing from violence. Representative Tony Gonzalez of Texas, who represents the largest stretch of the U.S.-Mexico border of any lawmaker, he is one of two Republicans who's taken the lead in opposing the bill. It's something where Gonzalez says, we can't allow the Republican Party to be hijacked. Trying to ban legitimate asylum claims, one, it's not Christian, he says, two, it's very anti-American, so a lot is at stake. So already you're seeing the divisions in the Republican Party, which were apparent during the vote for Speaker. You have Republican Congressman Don Bacon of Nebraska and a couple of other members of what they call the Main Street Caucus, a group of self-described pragmatic Republicans who secured a commitment from McCarthy aides late last week that the bill will not be fast-tracked to the floor of the House, something that McCarthy had promised that he would do. So you still have Republicans in Congress, thankfully, who not only understand the need not to go extreme, don't only understand the need to reform legal immigration, but actually want to get to work on it and not just talk about it. Because when you actually do the work to welcome people to this country, to process them and to let them start a new life, find employment, become taxpayers, raise a family. In other words, all of the things that this country did for our ancestors, you're on the right path to actually solving a problem and providing opportunities. And that takes me to an article from Wisconsin Public Radio about a central Wisconsin resettlement agency that has placed 160 refugees in its first year. People from Afghanistan and other nations that are finding homes in Wausau, Stevens Point, or Marshfield. There was a celebration last week of the Wausau Multicultural Community Center for their first year, and individuals and families who had settled in the region thanked their communities for welcoming them. And then the agency leaders outlined plans to place another 150 refugees in the region in 2023. The creation of Wausau's Refugee Resettlement Agency began before the U.S. withdrew its troops from Afghanistan in 2021, but that event caused an extraordinary increase in the need for new settlements, according to this article written by Rob Menser up in the Wausau area. About 60 refugees from Afghanistan arrived in central Wisconsin exactly 1 year ago, part of a nationwide wave of arrivals after the U.S. Withdrawal. More recently, the agency has settled families from Burundi, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, Guatemala. Almost everybody who's been resettled, who is able to have a job, has a job. At least one per family is employed and working. They have their own income. They are not dependent. They are mostly independent. This Wausau agency, according to the story, is one of six resettlement agencies in the state. The most recent state data from September of 2021 showed Wisconsin had admitted 388 refugees the previous fiscal year. Data from the U.S. State Department said Wisconsin received nearly 1,000 refugees between October 21 and December 22. Now, there are people in the vein of a Tom Tiffany, if not Tiffany himself, who refer to this type of thing as an invasion, that we're letting people in here who shouldn't be here. That they've become so jaded. They have been so pushed into being anti-immigration overall, rather than simply being against the chaos that we have at the border now, that they're not doing Wisconsin any favors by trying to speak out constantly against any form of immigration. And again, if people like Tom Tiffany were serious, if people in the legislature were serious about solving problems and creating opportunities for the Wisconsin economy, they would work for ways to have people become legalized or naturalized citizens, or at least be in line, be in the process for it. And those deals have come close a few times, including in late November, early December of this year in Congress. But as has always happened, a few right-wing members end up blocking it because they don't actually want to solve the problem. They want to always be able to point to other people who don't look like them as being part of the issue. We will talk more with folks from Wisconsin Farmers Union in our next hour about what should be the priorities for the rural Wisconsin economy. And we will take a look at this day in music and music history, all coming up in just a sec. You're up north.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cans of water in our water.
destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education, knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 32 today under cloudy skies. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows level off around 25. Snow likely tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 32. Cloudy skies expected. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Hey, we got a couple of birthdays today. Two different people turning 82 years old today. The first one there, Neil Diamond, born on this day in 1941. Cherry was one of his first hits. I know them all. I feel like I probably still know the words to every Neil Diamond song because that was my mom's jam as I was growing up. Every Neil Diamond album, and when I say album, I mean 8-track. My dad liked a lot of it too, so when we'd go visit him, there was a lot of Neil Diamond. There's just a lot of Neil in my life. So happy birthday to him for turning 82. Also turning 82, Aaron Neville of the Neville Brothers. He was born in New Orleans on this day in 1941. So happy birthday to him. And it's the anniversary of the birth of Warren Zevon, who we played earlier. He was born in 1947. He died in 2006 at the age of 53. He was born in Chicago, toured as a keyboardist with the Everly Brothers for a time in the 70s while he was trying to kickstart a solo career, and then got a boost when Linda Ronstadt recorded several of his tunes. And of course, he's best known for me for Lawyers, Guns, and Money, but of course for so much more. Another birth anniversary today would be John Belushi, born on this day in 1949. And it's just sad to think that we would be saying happy 74th birthday to him, and instead it hits hard to say he died at age 33 back in 1982. He was of course part of the original Saturday Night Live cast and started the Blues Brothers, heard there with Dan Aykroyd. Other anniversaries, it's the birthday of the Boy Scouts. The first Boy Scout troop was organized in England on this day in 1908. Back to music and technology, a couple of notes here. On this day in 1970, Dr. Robert Moog unveiled the Mini Moog.
It's pronounced Moog, excuse me.
Is it Moog?
It is actually Moog.
You can tell I never worked in the music business. So Moog, Mini Moog, the first popular portable and comparatively affordable synthesizer with a price of $2,000 back then, or $15,300 in today's dollars. It's been featured on countless records. It's still a coveted sound today. Are you a synthesizer player, Aaron?
Yeah. And I like to... Now, this is going to sound more impressive than it is. To build some, do some soldering and stuff. But mm-hmm. basically, as far as all the actual thinking, other people have done that. And I'd like to, but electronics are hard. So I mostly just put stuff together that other people have figured out. But
yeah, but that's pretty awesome, actually, to build and do those things. The story I always tell in that vein is I've had the same guy tuning our piano. We have a baby grand and that my wife plays, and we've had the same guy tuning it for, you know, 20 years now. He always tunes it masterfully. He can't play. He can't read music. He's not a piano player. He just knows how to tune it. So which keys to hit to see if it's in tune. So yeah, by all means, if you're just building the synthesizer or any other instrument, you're definitely as valuable, because that artist is playing nothing if you ain't doing your job right.
I suppose that's true.
There, I hope I've helped you feel better. Back to technology. On this day in 1984, Apple Computer put the Macintosh personal computer on sale in the United States after a
a rather landmark Super Bowl ad back in 1984 that kind of was a bit of a spoof of the story 1984. Macintosh, now known as Macs, are everywhere. This show is done on an iMac. Unless I'm on the road, then it's done on a MacBook. I've just been part of the cult of Mac for a long time. It works for me. Not as well as it used to, it seems, when Steve Jobs was around, but it still gets the job done. All right, if you don't know this song within one or two notes, you should never play Name That Tune.
And you've already lost if you don't know it.
I know. 1998, the soundtrack from Titanic hit number one on the album chart today. It knocked a different album out of the number one spot. That album was Let's Talk About Love by Celine Dion. Both albums contained this song, My Heart Will Go On. Also on this day in 2005, let's just move right to the, do you have Britney Spears handy? From 2005, she had her album Certified Diamond for selling 10 million copies. In doing so, Britney became the first female artist to sell over 10 million copies on her first two albums, which gives her comparisons to people like Diana Ross, which is totally unfair. But Diana Ross also has a spot in this day in history. The theme from Mahogany, the movie, Do You Know Where You're Going To, hit number one on this day in 1976.
Where are you going to? Do you know? Do you get?
This is one of those movies, again, it's 1976. It's, in my mind, an entirely forgettable movie because I was 12 years old, or 11 years old, actually, at the time. And I just remember, I don't know how it was that I saw it. I think we were at a drive-in theater, and like we got to watch a kid's movie, and then we were all supposed to be asleep when the grown-ups movie came on. And I just remember looking at that going, I should not be watching this. It's not a movie for 11-year-olds. And Hopefully I fell asleep shortly after that. On this day in 1991, The Cure filmed their MTV Unplugged special, so maybe we'll hear more from The Cure a little later on this morning. But then our final note is on this day in 2019, so 4 years ago, Weezer released Aaron's favorite, the Teal album, which consists of covers of popular songs like Billie Jean, Take On Me, No Scrubs, and of course, Africa.
Just a note, I don't want to let it hang for too long without saying, clarifying that this is definitely not my favorite Weezer album. In fact, it is my least favorite.
Yeah, the notes here are very clear. Aaron hates this album a lot. So let the record show.
Yeah.
So, but you're saying you do like other things from Weezer. You said it's this album you don't like.
Yes, I would say that I would call myself a Weezer fan, more or less, and nobody hates Weezer more than Weezer fans. When it comes to stuff like this, you have good old Rivers Cuomo, who just always sounds like a teenager, no matter how old he is, on purpose. Mm-hmm. And that works for some songs, but when you take all these classics and re-record it and just put Weezer drums over it, it doesn't make it sound better. It just makes it sound weird and wrong.
I have to agree, and I'm not a Weezer fan. I've never been exposed to a lot of Weezer. I just know hearing this remake, I thought, why? There's nothing that uniquely different from it that makes it stand out. And I did not even know this album had other covers on it. So I'm going to expose myself to them anyway at some point, just to hear if any one of them was a better cover than the other, or if they took the best of a bad lot and released that one as a single.
Yeah, do that if you have to, but
if you have to. In our next hour, Michelle Ramirez White and Hans Breitenmoser will join us from Wisconsin Farmers Union, talking about what the legislature should be working on to do right by Wisconsin farm families and Wisconsin's rural economy. After a break for news, this is Up North News Radio. We'll be back.
What are
are the governor's priorities for Wisconsin? Tony Evers will lay out his second-term plans during his State of the State address January 24th. You can hear it live on your local civic media radio station. Will abortion rights, Medicaid expansion, and legalizing marijuana be the top issues? Your favorite hosts also provide insight by breaking down the governor's address. The State of the State address live Tuesday, January 24th at 7 p.m. here on your local civic media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.